You know what I did last night, which was an absolute nightmare? Don't know if you know this, but I'm going to teach you guys something. If you guys cook at home at all, Pyrex, you cannot put on an open flame. You know what Pyrex is?
I
You know, like the
don't.
little like silver things you like bake in? They're like the little like rectangular
Like a
silver,
like aluminum foil almost?
glass, like glass pans.
Yeah.
Can't put them on an open flame. Tried to heat something up on the stove last night. It turned into a fucking bomb. The thing exploded glass everywhere in my kitchen.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea. Why would you do that?
I had no idea. Like I thought I could just like heat something real up real quick, like on like the stove, like on a low
No,
flame,
nope.
because I know you can bake in it at a high temperature. I was like, oh, maybe I can do this. So I put it across, and at worst, I thought, okay, maybe the glass will fracture, a little crack will happen, and then I'll figure it out. I'm talking like it was like a fucking pressure cooker bomb.
Yeah, you're lucky you don't have just shards of glass all over your face.
No, you're not even lying. Seriously,
All
I
right,
escaped. I
well,
won.
we're keeping that in. Hit the music. Hello and welcome to That's Hockey Talk. Today's episode, NRD NHL Rumors Daily is going to join us, and we are going all in on the NHL trade deadline, which is going to happen Monday. We've had some action already with some trades. We'll review those a little bit. AQ with me as always. AQ, how you doing, buddy?
Great, man. Glad to have NRD on. A couple days late, but hopefully we still got some action moving forward in the next week.
Yeah, there has been an uptick action recently. A lot of trades going on, kind of surprising. I thought we'd wait and hopefully save something for deadline day, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if everything goes down this weekend and there's absolutely nothing on Monday. But, you know, we can always reflect. We can look back. But at the moment, before we get into the interview, before we talk to NRD and hear what he's going on, I know he's connected, plugged into the rumor universe. We got to talk and thank our sponsor here. Let's talk about Sheath Underwear, a veteran-owned company with underwear that's uniquely effective at keeping your balls off your legs. Now, you all know what I'm talking about. It does this by the way of the special kangaroo pouch inside the underwear to isolate AQ, your little Joey package.
I mean, I need it. I need every support I can get when it comes to underwear.
The pouch is a whole new ball game. These things are unbelievably comfortable, and were invented by a soldier while serving overseas in Iraq. We love that. Where you can imagine balls tend to get very hot. He developed the prototype in Iraq, and then he did a Kickstarter, and now they're sponsoring our show. We can't thank them enough for that. So please support our sponsors, because our sponsors keep this show going. And you're not only supporting us, but Sheath will support you and your package. It'll feel like your balls are floating on clouds. What could be better?
Nothing.
Go see their reviews. Check them out if you don't believe us. Sheath are amazing, and if you don't love them, they have a 100% money-back guarantee off your first pair. We personally guarantee you'll love them because we love Sheath. If you don't, they'll give you your money back on your very first pair. You'll feel like a superhero when you put these on, and your girl or guy will appreciate the way you look at them. Ladies, they didn't forget about you. Sheath also has a women's line that gets 5-star ratings as well. All their products are available on Amazon Prime or at sheathunderwear.com. That's Sheath. underwear.com. Seek it and ye shall find it. I'm talking about comfort. You're welcome for this introduction to the most comfortable underwear on the planet. Go to sheathunderwear.com, use promo code hockey, save 20% off your first order. That's sheathunderwear.com, promo code hockey. While we're waiting for NRD to call in and join us, we got some news already. Vegas, it looks like, has acquired Alec Martinez from the LA Kings in exchange for a second round pick in 2020, and then another one in 2021 that originally belonged to the St. Louis Blues. So Vegas gets a little help on the back end. Martinez can play that top four role for them. I mean, I love it. 2 second-round picks, I got no problem with that.
And that's exactly what they were asking for. I mean, I think I saw that they wanted 2 seconds, and they got exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, the asking prices, I don't think, have been too astronomical. I saw a couple seconds flying around. I'm fine with it. I mean, I'll give up second-round picks all day, especially like the Penguins. Their second-round picks are always cursed. They never turn into anything. So, hell yeah. Sprinkle those things out like water. Just throw them out like candy. Everyone gets a second. You get a second. You get a second. Who needs them? All right, let's get to some hockey. Let's hear about these trades. Joining us now, the master of the whispers on the internet. This guy has his hands in everything. He knows what's going on at NHL Rumors Daily. Check out his site, NHLRumorsDaily.com. NRD, how we doing, buddy?
Wonderful, gentlemen. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as they say. It's trade deadline week, and I couldn't be happier to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I know you're a busy man trying to track down all these leads. So there have been a couple trades that went down already. Can you kind of recap those for us?
Yeah, so Pittsburgh kind of got things underway by acquiring Jason Zucker from the Minnesota Wild. There was a lot of talk after the Jake Guentzel injury that Alex Galchenyuk, one guy that Jim Rutherford was looking to move, was not going to be on the move now just because they simply needed the forward depth to survive all the injuries that they've had. It was told to me that they were still going to move him if it was a hockey trade, and I put that in air quotations, hockey trade, because I know it's a term that gets thrown around a lot. They found a hockey trade. They got Jason Zucker, a guy who they've been interested in going all the way back to the summer. If you guys remember the Phil Kessel deal,
there was
originally a deal on the table that would send that would have sent Kessel to Minnesota for Jason Zucker. And what a lot of people don't know is everybody kind of viewed that as a Phil Kessel trade. But sources with the Penguins tell me that that was the Jason Zucker trade, and that this is a guy that the Pens have been after for a long time.
Yeah, we know as Pen fans they've been after him for a long time. And you mentioned hockey trade. For those who don't know, hockey trade is essentially a player that's going to come in and help both teams immediately, sometimes with term on the contract, as opposed to trading prospects and futures and things like that. So the Zucker deal, to me, I loved it. I saw a lot of people saying Pittsburgh got fleeced, and I'm not being a homer here. I think it was what they needed to stay in that win-now mode and compete for a cup. You know, Galchenyuk scored 30 last year with Arizona, but he's not that player right now, whether it was through injury or whatever, so his value was not that high, and even though he was the return in the Phil Kessel trade, it was basically a sunk cost this year, so moving him out was not that big of an issue. The first-round pick, I didn't mind losing because they've been picking in the 20s or above for the past couple years. It's always a crapshoot that late in the first round, and then the prospect they lose, Kalen Addison, is supposed to be pretty good defensive, kind of an offensive defenseman, but he's not going to be playing this year. He's not going to be helping them in the playoffs this year, or arguably even next year, maybe with Minnesota, but not on the crowded Pittsburgh blue line. So I didn't mind it at all. I don't think they gave up too much because they get Zucker back, who has term, 3 more years at $5 million. Perennial 20-goal guy, can score 30, has done it in the past, and arguably would score 30 playing on either Sid or Gino's wing. Right now he's with Sid. I liked it, AQ. I don't know what you thought about it.
I loved it. I mean, you can look at it, and you can look at his production already. I mean, he's...
Yeah, 3 goals in 4 games.
He's come in,
so
he stepped in, he's been right next to Sid, and he's provided instant scoring, and Sid's almost like looking for him, which is kind of cool to see. And I think once you get Guentzel back, I mean, that's going to be a pretty stupid pairing if you keep all three of those guys together.
Yeah, so that was my homer take. And of course, Billy G, now the GM of the Wild, coming from the Penguins, he couldn't get ripped off, right? He was going to lose respect in the community if he just basically handed over Zucker, who was a pretty good player, to the Penguins. So he had to get something of value in return back. And I think it was a pretty good trade for both teams.
That was the trade that they were going to make. I mean, there were a lot of rumors about maybe Pittsburgh getting involved in Chris Kreider, Kyle Palmieri, if he was available. The Zucker trade was the trade they were going to make. Like you said, we've covered a lot. They've been interested in Zucker for a long time. It was the only trade that made sense for Pittsburgh, especially with the connections to Bill Guerin and everything.
Yeah, so what else is going on? I saw we got 2 or 3 other ones go down.
Yeah, a couple other big trades. The next big winger off the board was Tyler Toffoli, going from the Kings to the Vancouver Canucks. There were a lot of rumors about Boston being the team for Tyler Toffoli. I know last time I was on, we spoke about the theory that Boston had Toffoli in their back pocket, per se. That was my Elliot Freeman's words, not mine. Mm-hmm. Don't want to throw Boston under the bus.
Smart.
But there were rumors about that. Vancouver kind of came out of nowhere, but the fact that Boston took a guy that was essentially in their backyard tells me that they've turned their interest elsewhere, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. I think Boston has their hands in some things that are a little bit bigger than Tyler Toffoli
right now.
That trade to Vancouver is a good deal for both teams. Tyler Madden's a hell of a prospect, and I think the Kings made out really well. They've increased their depth as forward prospects, probably team with the strongest forward prospects in the league.
I was going to say that they are considered probably the best prospect-wise depth team so far going. But I think people were shocked Vancouver made the deal because I don't think people realized how good this team is this year. Or I think people were looking at them saying they can't make a run. Why are they doing this? That's a lot to give up for a rental.
It was a lot. Like I said, Tyler Madden, great prospect, the second-round pick. And then Tim Schallers, the NHL roster player that went in that deal. It was a big price. Brock Besser going down to a long-term injury doesn't help their cause up front. So I think this is another trade where they needed to do something like this if they wanted to continue on this path to make the playoffs. It's been a long time coming in Vancouver, and I know they're itching to get back there. So.
Yeah, to me, that seems like with Besser going down, and like you just mentioned, that's something almost like for the players and for the fans, like, hey, you guys have stuck with us. It's been a wild road. The organization's going to show you that we're committed to winning too. Let's bring in this guy, even though it's going to cost us a bit, to kind of reward the fans and say, hey, look, we're invested. We want to win too. I think it's a great move.
Couldn't agree more.
What else?
The next big deal, Blake Coleman was on the move. Yeah. A lot of talk about whether New Jersey was going to blow this thing up or not. I know they had a severely disappointing year. We also talked about that last time. Guys like Coleman, Palmieri, there were a lot of rumors on will they, won't they, will they make a trade, will they entertain offers even on these guys. And the gist I got from talking to some very good Devil sources was that they were going to make hockey trades. I don't think New Jersey sees this as a long-term build-up again. They have the pieces in place. They have Nico Hischier. They have Jack Hughes. They have the players that could win them some games in the new age NHL. I think it was more of a matter of getting the right fit in there. And it's hard to say that a guy like Blake Coleman wouldn't be the right fit, but that organization's looking to go in a different direction completely with their style of play, obviously getting rid of John Hines and Ray Sherrow. That trade was good. Another great trade for both teams. Nolan Foote, the prospect that New Jersey got in return, is a guy that's going to step in next year, and he's a big scoring winger. He did well at the WJC for Canada, and he's one of those guys that's going to fill in shoes in that New Jersey lineup rather quickly. Won't do it this year because he's still in juniors, but he will be in the New Jersey lineup next year.
Yeah, and then it's not like Tampa needed the help anyway, right? They're just winning left and right.
They were I didn't peg them as their front runners in the Atlantic, but I pegged them to be in the playoffs at the beginning of the season in my predictions. But they kind of struggled out of the gates, and then nobody saw this tear that they've been on. So
no, I think it's good though, because with how they cruised through the season last year and basically didn't face any adversity, then they get swept in the first round. I think this is very good for them to face that adversity early, kind of show they can bounce back, rebound. They look like a different team this year, and now they look good.
Absolutely.
What else? Well, I know there's one more big one.
The other one that was pretty interesting to me, actually, too. Another one just came to mind, but Marco Scandella, a while back, goes from Buffalo to Montreal for a fourth round pick.
Yep,
and Buffalo had a ton of defensive depth. Zach Bogosian wanted out. There were rumors that Marco Scandella also wanted out, and he did get out. He goes to Montreal. People think, okay, Montreal grabs a defenseman here. And then there were starting to be rumblings from some sources that Montreal was going to flip him. And boy, oh boy, did they flip him. That's a bad look for Buffalo, because Montreal turns around and takes a month of Marco Scandella and parlays it to getting that fourth-round pick back and getting a second-round pick, which is gigantic in this rental market.
Yeah, it's been a lot of tough looks for Buffalo lately. I don't know what else you could say about what's going on in that organization. Now, you mentioned Bogosian, also another guy who had some injury trouble and was waived recently. Have you heard anything about him or what's going on with his situation?
Basically, what happened with the waiver situation with Zach Bogosian, and I know Pierre LeBrun, who's, like I say, there's a group of gold standard guys when it comes to this rumor-mongering stuff, and he's one of them. He touched upon it briefly the other day. He was put on waivers because, obviously, he's not playing at the big club, and he didn't report to Rochester, their AHL program. I don't think any team is going to pick him up, and like Pierre LeBrun said, because nobody wants to take that full contract, I think that's why there was a lack of interest in him on the waiver market. I think now teams are calling Buffalo to see if there's a fit there, with Buffalo retaining 50% of that contract. It really comes down to the need that teams have for a defenseman and the price. He hasn't played in a while. He hasn't been happy. So you don't want to fork over a big price to Buffalo for a guy that you're trying to get on a bargain. And I think that's the situation with Bogosian right now. I don't think there's any rush to move him. I don't think there's teams that are knocking down the door. I think teams are going to wait to see how the rest of the defensemen on the market play out.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, though, if you're a team looking for a veteran guy that could play like a sixth, seventh role and you can get him at half price, I wouldn't be hesitant at all to cough up a pick and throw Buffalo's way for him. AQ, you got some questions?
Yeah, so I think the big ones, right? Obviously, you said Boston's got something big coming up. I'm assuming you're thinking Kreider.
Yeah, Kreider, Kreider, and Nick Palmieri with the Devils. I think their two options right now are to keep Palmieri and deal with this in the offseason and kick the can down the line, or I think Boston's the team that's hottest on Nick Palmieri right now.
And then what about the other one we were talking about? Nick and I were talking about earlier was, does Joe Thornton move? Does he stay in San Jose? I think he kind of controls his own destiny at this point. If he doesn't want to go somewhere, he doesn't go somewhere, right? I think that's kind of respect he's earned in that organization. But what are your thoughts, or what are you hearing?
Yeah, I think he controls his own destiny is correct. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. I tweeted this morning that Joe Thornton controls his own destiny with the San Jose Sharks, and nobody really knows what that is. You have a seasoned vet, a legend of the game, a surefire Hall of Famer. There's a lot of respect that goes into play there about his wishes and how much that gets divulged to the media and that stuff. But the belief is that Joe Thornton controls his destiny. I really speculate, and like I said, this is pure speculation on my part based on some things that I've heard. I wonder if no matter what Boston does, they may be looking to bring in Joe Thornton home to try to get him a Stanley Cup ring. I think that that's one thing that I'm going to watch Monday. I don't think it's going to happen today or tomorrow. That's one thing that comes up around 2 p.m. right before the deadline hits, and you know there's a little news flash that comes on the bottom ticker, and it's talking about Joe Thornton possibly waving to go to the Boston Bruins. That's one thing that could be a surprise that I'm looking for.
I wouldn't hate that at all. And, you know, we know San Jose is open for business. They've had this terrible season. They already moved Brendan Dillon to the Caps for a second-round pick and then another conditional pick. What else, are there any other sleepers out there that you're hearing or something that might catch some people off guard other than the usual fodder?
Well, the one giant elephant in the room is the New York Rangers goaltending situation. And from the talk that I've had with some people closely connected there, nobody wants Lundqvist. Really? And as crazy as that sounds, if you told me that 5 years ago, I would have said you're out of your mind. Nobody really wants Henrik Lundqvist at the age, the contract, the fact that he hasn't played in almost a month. And the Rangers seem to have a 180 now on Alexander Georgiev. Igor Shestarkin, their number one guy. I think the organization would really like to keep Georgiev as their 1A, 1B combo with Shestarkin.
Yeah.
And Lundqvist is kind of the odd guy out there, but as shocking as it sounds, there really isn't any interest in him. The only team that could be interested in him, a lot of speculation around the Colorado Avalanche losing Philip Grubauer to an injury, but that's just speculation because they can afford it. Other than that, there really hasn't been interest. It would be a surprise to me, not because Lundqvist would be leaving the Rangers, it would be a surprise to me because I don't think that any team really wants him at this point.
Well, we know he hasn't had the best season, like you say, he hasn't played in forever. What's the term left on his deal? How many years does he have left?
So he has this season and then one more season. So he'll have the 2020-2021 season at $8.5 million, which is a lot of money.
Yeah, he's got some tickets on there. That's interesting to me. Yeah, you would think there'd be at least a team. You would think a veteran team could use him in a backup role even. But that's so much money to absorb this time of year. I just don't know if anyone could do it. What do you think? He retires in the offseason? Do you think he plays that other year?
I mean, I hate to speculate on it because I really don't know. I'm not connected to his personal thinking. Sure. But I talked about it a couple weeks ago on the Twitter account. It wouldn't honestly surprise me if they keep Lundqvist through the deadline and there's a backdoor under-the-table agreement that he retires after this season. And that could be the reason why they aren't in a rush to trade Georgiev and the organization feels comfortable going ahead through the next month or two with three goalies. Is that he might retire in the offseason. And like I said, I'd hate to speculate on something that I really not closely in tune to, but that wouldn't surprise me to see Lundqvist forego that last year of his contract and just retire. He wants to be in New York, and I think that's a lot to do with the reason why there's not a lot of interest in him. It's because getting him is half the battle. You have to get him to waive his no-trade clause, his no-movement clause. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him retire after the season, as crazy as that is as well.
Yeah, that seems to be the vibe, that he doesn't actually want to move regardless, so that might have something to do with it as well. The Rangers themselves, have they fully committed to being sellers or buyers, or are they still kind of testing the water here?
There's a lot of gray area with the Rangers right now. There's a lot of interest in their guys, and for good reason. They have a lot of guys that are team-controlled, cost-controlled, that can help out some of these playoff teams. But the thing with the Rangers that is interesting is the money situation after this season, and that kind of ties into what we just spoke about with the goalie situation there with the Rangers. If they keep Kreider, which they are in contract talks with Chris Kreider's camp right now, it won't be cheap, and you're going to forego re-signing Ryan Strome, Anthony DeAngelo, and maybe even a guy like Alexander Georgiev, a guy that they want to keep, because Kreider's going to come in at a contract now with the buyout of Shattenkirk that they did this past offseason. They're tight on cap, and that's why I think they're leaning to just sell, because even if they want to make a miracle run at this, because they're only 7 points back with a couple games in hand on the wild card spot in the Eastern Conference, they might not have the money. to keep their guys and make a run. So I truly believe that while Kreider and his camp are in talks with the Rangers, I think their price is going to be met. Right now they're looking for a first. They're looking for a top prospect. They might even be looking for something else. And I think that's going to be met. There are three teams right now that are extremely hot on Chris Kreider. One of them might surprise you, the New York Islanders.
Not surprised at all. I think he'd be an excellent fit there. He plays that hard, gritty game, but he's got the speed.
Hey, so I might have read this on your Twitter earlier today. I read it somewhere, but what's going on with the Robin Leonard situation? Is there a possibility of him moving? I know he's been a big help in sparking their kind of turnaround for a little bit there, but I think I might have read it on yours or read it somewhere, but Carolina
may be
interested in him.
I'll take the credit for that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Robin Leonard, though, all joking aside, he's not the long-term guy in Chicago. I've heard that from multiple people. They're gonna look to move him. And he was a former Vezina winner, won the Vezina last year with the New York Islanders. I think Carolina makes the most sense for him. Colorado looked into the possibility, like we just discussed with their injury of Philip Grubauer. Carolina was hot for him in free agency. They were very, very close to signing him, closer than people think. And I think they'd be willing to pay the price that Chicago wants. It might be a second. It might be a conditional first, or it might be a pretty solid tweener between a prospect and a roster player. But it's going to be one major piece going for Robin Leonard, and I think Carolina has the ammo and the desire to get it done.
What about the Leafs? I know they don't have a ton of flexibility, but they just got waxed the other night in Pittsburgh. Their rematch in Toronto with Pittsburgh tonight. Have you heard anything about the Leafs?
Toronto's on fire. Hashtag fire Kyle Dubas. Hashtag fire Sheldon Keith. Hashtag revoke the captaincy from John Tavares. Toronto's burning, boys. And what I'm hearing out of Toronto is that they're looking to build on that defensive core that they have. They're about to extend Jake Muzzin, if they haven't already, as of the time of this recording. But they're going to look to build that defensive core. Sammy Vatanen would be a dark horse name that maybe the Leafs try to work out. Other than that, though, I think they have a ton of internal issues, and that's part of the reason why we haven't heard a lot of rumors out of Toronto. I think they're dealing with a lot of internal adversity before they start looking into the trade market.
You mentioned Vatanen. You hearing anything else on him besides the Toronto link, potentially?
Yeah, so Vatanen was VGK, the Vegas Golden Knights. He was their guy for the Alec Martinez deal. Vegas was hot on Sammy Vatanen. I don't think they wanted to pay the price. I think they would have had to give their seconds back to New Jersey, at least. But Vatanen's being suited by Winnipeg. I think Florida's still in there, too. Florida's looking for a defenseman. I would say Winnipeg's not done after the Dylan DeMello deal. They would still build on their defense. It's not an original report. Many people are talking about it. But, yeah, Winnipeg and Vatanen seem like a surefire link if New Jersey goes down that road. He's another guy that I tweeted earlier yesterday that he's also in talks with New Jersey Devils on a contract extension. So it's really hard to get a sense of where the Devils want to go. Because, like I said, I don't know if they're fully committed to blowing this up. But if he's on the move, I think Winnipeg's a safe bet. I would put my money on Winnipeg.
I like that fit. Montreal, they got a lot of options. They could go a couple different ways. Tatar's name's been out there. Are they going to re-sign him? Will they move him? Kovalchuk has kind of rebounded there, propped his career back up again. It looks like he might make another run with somebody. Does somebody want to gamble with him? Have you heard anything from Montreal? Jeff Petrie, I think, is another guy's name's been dangled out there.
With Ilya Kovalchuk, I think Montreal is in a holding pattern right now. They're in a wait-and-see situation because I don't think it'll cost a lot to keep him there. And from what I've heard, they are in deep, deep talk to try to keep him in Montreal. I think he's a guy that's going to be on that secondary market, the teams that missed out on Kreider or Kyle Palmieri. And I think Montreal's in a wait and see. I don't think they're in any rush to move him. And I don't think teams are necessarily knocking down the door either. He's been tearing it up in Montreal, but let's not forget, he sucked in L.A.
Stunk.
And I think that's one of those things that recency bias is a real thing. And I don't think that the teams are succumbing to that recency bias. I think there's interest in Kovalchuk. I think Boston, they had a shot to get him for free, basically, after he was dropped from the Kings. I think Boston would look into it if they don't get Kreider somehow, but I don't think they're going to be busting the doors open, trading the farm away for him. And I think Montreal's in a great position where they can hold on to a guy like Kovalchuk, because if they chalk this year up to being a one-year anomaly, Kovalchuk's a great fit in that locker room already, and he's been doing well. They could keep him.
Anything else there as far as Tatar or Petrie or anyone like that, or is all the buzz really just Kovalchuk?
Just Tatar's another guy that's on that secondary market, garnering some interest. What's interesting to me is Mark Bergevin went out to the Tampa Bay-Colorado game the other day, and he's been stalking. I say stalking the Colorado Avalanche. So tells me that those two teams are talking about something, whether it be Tatar. I don't believe any of the Carey Price rumors. Carey Price isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't believe it either.
No, it's not. He's not going to Colorado. He'd be the second goalie to go from Montreal to Colorado and do well. Sorry, Patrick Roy fans in Montreal.
As hilarious as that would be.
Yeah, that I don't think that would happen, but he's going to be in Montreal. He's going to be in Colorado again tonight, scouting their game again. So what's surprising to me is that he's basically set up shop in Colorado. So I think there's something to be had there. I've been working the phones to try to get a sense of what that exactly is, but it might be Thomas Tatar, honestly, if Kreider doesn't end up in Colorado, because I've heard some rumblings that there's interest in Thomas Tatar in the secondary market. And Colorado's a good fit if they don't get the big fish.
NRD, is there any other teams that maybe we're not hearing anything about that might come up and surprise, for instance, like a team like Nashville, who's been contenders the last couple of years, and you're not hearing anything about? They need to make a move to get better in some way, shape, or form. Do you see any teams like that kind of making like a late push for a move by the deadline?
I think there's a lot of teams around the league right now, and from what I'm hearing, that they're just interested in depth. I think the Flyers are a team like that, that Jesper Fast of the New York Rangers might be a really good fit for the Flyers. Alain Vigneault, I know, loves him. I know for a fact that Philly has shown interest in Fast, and I think that the Rangers have put a third-round price tag on him. So I wonder if that's a team that surprises some people and just gets a guy that's a bottom-six scorer. Another team, your Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't know if they're done. I don't think you're going to see anything major out of them, but Erik Gustafsson of the Chicago Blackhawks comes to mind. I think that they want to build their defensive depth again for the second year in a row after getting Gabranson last year, Pittsburgh's another team that could shock. As for Nashville, I really haven't heard much out of there, and I would expect that to continue throughout Monday's deadline.
All right, one more for you. What about the Blues, defending cup champs? Do you see them making any moves to bolster that lineup before another run?
Well, the talk about St. Louis was they're going to grab a high-powered scoring winger to replace Vladimir Tarasenko. And then the freak accident happens with Jay Bomeister, and now they turn to Marco Scandella because they panicked for a defenseman. I think their focus now is to just stay the course. I don't know if they're as hot for Kreider as they once were. They're still in the mix, as well as Florida and Calgary. They're still in the mix for Kreider, but they're not one of those three front runners. And I don't know if St. Louis makes that leap of faith with a big ticket item when I think Tarasenko's right around the corner. There's some rumors that he's starting to skate. So I don't know if they have to wait that much longer for the cavalry to come back in St. Louis.
I mean, that's arguably the biggest deadline pickup you can get is getting a healthy Tarasenko back. Anything else you're hearing before we go? Is there anything else that you have, you know, heard through the grapevine you just want to get out there?
One thing, if you don't mind me shamelessly plugging, I talked about this on my Twitter account briefly, and I can't divulge into much for legal and other purposes, but if you're a fan of NRD, if you're a fan of what I do with NHL Rumors Daily, there's going to be a lot of access more so than ever before coming up soon. And I definitely think you guys should stick around with me, stick around with That's Hockey Talk, because I love doing this with you guys. And sources can confirm to me that I think this trade deadline episode is going to be really, really big hit for you guys and for me as well. And just looking forward to it all playing out on Monday.
We hope so, man. We enjoy every time you call in. You always got the knowledge on everything we're looking for. And this is the best time of the year. You mentioned it earlier. And everyone loves it. Everyone loves speculating. Everyone gets that excitement. It's like Christmas. You just can't wait to see what your team gets or how your team fucks up. And then you can be pissed at them. And that's enjoyable to a lot of people, too. Venting online, yelling at their coach, yelling at their GM, letting their players know, hey, you guys are on notice. You better fucking pick it up.
Yeah. I follow the religion of hockey, and this is Christmas for hockey fans. So couldn't be happier to be with you guys at this time of year.
Amen. Well said. Go check him out at NHL Rumors Daily on Twitter. Go check out his site. It's got everything you need. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, so that was pretty thorough. That was pretty in-depth. I think we got most of our questions answered there. I'm glad you asked about Joe Thornton, because I keep forgetting about him rotting there away this poor season in San Jose. It would be nice to see him make that move and just go one more run. You know, I don't know if he'll get it. I don't know where he'll end up, but it'd be nice to see the big fella get one more shot.
I mean, it's one of those things in every sport where you're like, at the end of the day, like, there's so many players in whatever sport that do not get a ring, and it would be an absolute travesty for him not to get a ring. He's been such an unbelievable player, played an unbelievable franchise, and has been on, for the most part, successful teams and has come close with no cigar. So to see him, I mean, that's interesting to hear Boston Bruins. I mean, he goes there. That'd be prime position A to get one for him.
Rebuilding that bridge that burned down that many years ago. I'd love to see that. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll have another episode out for you next week. Until the meantime, enjoy all the speculation. Enjoy the fanfare and all the craziness around the deadline happening on Monday. Thanks for rocking with us. Go check us out on anywhere podcasts are found. Go follow us on Twitter at That's Hockey Talk. Go get some shirts. We got shirts in the store at Pat McAfee Show. store.patmcafeeshow.com. Check us out on YouTube. Appreciate you guys so much. Can't thank you enough for following along. AQ, you want to do it this time?
Hey, that's Hockey Talk.